Philippians chapter number 1, it's good to be in God's house. It's good to have the Word of God. Amen. It's good to have the Word of God.
Amen.
All right, can y'all hear me? Make sure y'all can hear me. Y'all with me? Is this thing working?
It's working.
All right, Philippians chapter number 1, I want to preach for a little while. If you didn't like preach, you might like a little while. Amen. I want to preach a little while. Amen. I don't know if I'll accomplish that, but I want to preach a little while. All right? Y'all get that in a minute. Amen. I think Miss Tracy got it. She's saying it ain't never going to happen. Never going to happen. Philippians chapter number 1. Begin verse reading with me in verse number 21. The Bible said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait." Watch this. I'm in a strait. He said, "I've got a condition here. I'm in a bind. I'm in a strait betwixt two." In other words, I've got two things that's pulling at me. Having a desire to depart, be with Christ, which is far better. Did you catch that? Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you. I want to call your attention down to verse 23 especially, and I want to zero in a thought where Paul said, "I'm in a strait betwixt two. I've got two things pulled on me." And he said, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." I want to preach on this thought this morning. Living with a longing. Living with a longing. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, God, you'd help us this morning. Touch us and use us for your glory. I pray, God, that you'd help us all to receive from your word something that would help us. Whether we're afar off, whether we're cold, whether we're lost, God, I pray that you'd speak to our heart and the Holy Ghost would do the work that only you can do. We'll thank you for your sake and we'll thank you for your honor that you do everything and for your glory be done in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In verse 23, Paul is writing and he refers to the time of his death or the time of his departure. Could be the rapture, not as a time that he feared or that he dreaded, but rather he said it's a time that he is desiring. It was a time that Paul was looking forward to. He said, "I have a desire to depart." Do you see that? A desire to depart. That idea of desire, we think of a desire as a craving. It's a longing. It's a sometimes that word is used as a desire, a strong word. It's a word we get the word lust or a strong desire for the forbidden. But Paul was not desiring something was forbidden, but it's a word that's a strong word to show how he had a strong desire. I'm talking about Paul said, I'm homesick, if you will. I have a longing. I want something. And what was it that he was desiring? He said to depart. To depart. We think of the word depart, and let's give you a little definition. To depart, this word means to unloose, to undo again, to depart, to break up, to depart from life, and to return. And this word is a word that we get the word, English word, depart. But let me give you a picture of how this word in Paul's day was used. The soldiers would use this word as in the description when they had their camp set up and they slept in a tent when they were to move and to take their company to another particular place. They were going to take down their tent and move on. They would say they were going to depart. They would use this word in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. I don't have time to run there, but in 2 Corinthians 5, when Paul talked about the death of the Christian, he talked about this tent, this temple, this tabernacle that we live in. One of these days, we're going to put this tabernacle off. One of these days, we're going to drop. I'm talking about this veil of flesh, and we're going to rise. I tell you, one day, when it comes to the time of death for the Christian, we're going to depart. We're going to take down our tent. Our tent will be removed and go off to another place. Not only would a soldier use this word, but a sailor use this word. A sailor would use this word depart as the word to describe when he would loose his ship. The ship would be tied to the dock. It would be anchored, and he would pull the anchors. He would untie the ship from the hoist, and he would go to another location. When that ship would be loose, he'd say, "I'm going to depart." Lord Tennyson used that phrase and that word in the poem. We hear oftentimes at a funeral about crossing the bar. That was the idea. That's the picture, to depart, to cross the bar. Many times when we talk about going to heaven, we talk about going to the other side. It's a picture of crossing. Many people use the picture and the phrase, "We're going to cross the river." I hope I'm not talking to a bunch of people that don't know what the Bible and ain't been around church. Watch this now. And then this word's used of a politician. Politicians would use this word to describe their action in releasing or setting a prisoner free. He would say, "We're going to depart. We're going to allow you to be returned." And you say, "How does that apply to us as Christians?" Well, as Christians, you and I, we live in this sin-cursed world, and we are still, even though we are saved, we are bound by limitations. We are struggling with temptations, and we are bound with these limitations in this body of flesh. But one of these days, when I lose this tent, when I lose from this anchor of this world, one of these days I'm going to another world. I'm going to be released. I am going, listen, not to have to struggle with the flesh anymore. I'm going to be set free. I'm already free positionally. I'm free in my spirit, but my body is still bound to limitation. But one of these days, I'm going to get a brand new body. And then this word is also used as the farmer would use this word. The farmer would use this word to describe his action of releasing or loosening his oxen. He would remove the burden. You know, Matthew 28 talks about Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you." We have a yoke upon you as a Christian. One of these days, hey, listen, we are going to the other side. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, all the things. You can go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and read about all the things that he struggled with and the persecutions and the things from within and the things from without and the cares of the churches. And Paul talked about all the things that would drag him down, that would be a yoke, that would be a burden on him. But neighbor, one day as a child of God, Jesus is going to call us home, and we're going to a place that's far better. And hey, listen, like the soldier leaves, we're going to another encampment. Like the sailor goes, we're going to loose and go. Like the, hey, listen, politician is, we're going to be completely free. And like the farmer, we'll have no more burdens to bear. Paul was willing to stay here in this passage. He was willing to endure some things for the will of the Lord, for the sake of the saints. He said at this time that he was writing, it was more needful for him to remain and to stay with them. But he said, "I want you to know that I'm doing that in the will of the Lord, but I have a strong desire to depart. I had a strong longing to go and to be with my Savior." Many times as Christians, we are encumbered by the cares of this life. We are entertained by the commodities of this life. We are engulfed in the commitments of this life. We are entangled by the corruption of this life. And we fail to realize and to remember that Jesus Christ has saved us and desires for us to be escaped from the conformity of this world in this life. Oh my. Paul knew this, and Paul lived with this truth, and this reality was fresh in his mind each day. Paul said, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ." What is he saying, preacher? Paul was saying that he was living with a longing. He was longing to leave this world. He wanted to be able to say, "Goodbye, world. Goodbye." Paul knew this world was not his home. He was just passing through. He was willing to endure. He was willing to serve. He was willing to do some things. But he said, "I'm living with a longing." When you live with a longing, you have a knowledge and you have a conviction that there is a better place. And that's what he said there in that verse, the latter part. He said, "Which is far better." Some of us, we're going to have to get to the conclusion that to depart from this life and to go to be with Christ is far better, I'm afraid. Hey, listen, those commodities, we're comfortable in our nice cars and we're comfortable in our nice homes and we enjoy going to the beach and we enjoy going on vacation and we enjoy all the things of this world. And we get to the point where we don't even really look forward to heaven. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody but myself, but hey, it'd be a good time for you and I as Christians to look into the Word of God and to see what the Bible says about eternity. And for the child of God to depart from this life and to say goodbye to the struggles even, and to even to say goodbye to the things. Hey, we have so many things that things have become our God if we're not careful. You say, not me, preacher. Well, John said in 1 John 5, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. What's an idol? An idol is anything that takes you away from God. Right. Might be a job, might be a car, might be a boat, might be a gun, might be a car. Hey, listen, it could be a lot of things, but if it comes in between me and God, and my time with Him, oh my. We become so encumbered and so enamored by the things of this world. It do us good to look in the Word of God and see what does heaven have to say. What are we living for? Are we living for the now? Are we living to be comfortable here? Or are we living with a longing, saying, hey, I may have to endure some things. I may have to suffer some things. I may have to go through some things in this life that I don't like. I may not have everything in this life. Are you listening to me? But man, I got a better home on the other side. There's a place that's far better. And I'm looking forward to going to heaven. Amen. Hey, so many times we invest so heavily in this world that we don't want to leave it. I got news for you. Everything you buy, everything you enjoy, everything you purchase in this world, one day, poof, gone, burning up. The boats, the houses. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm trying to get you to see. Hey, man, what are we living for? Well, I got me and my family, and we got us a nice job, and we got us a nice car, and we got us a nice house, and we got our vacation club here, and this here, and a 401k, but one of these days, it's all going to burn up. Paul said, I'm not living for this world. I've got to be here. I realize I'm here. But I'm living with a longing. I'm living with a strong desire. I have a craving. I'm looking forward to going to the other side. You say, preacher, how would he live with a longing? Let me give these to you right quick. We'll give you four things. He's living with a longing because, number one, the problems that we will escape. The problems that we will escape. I don't have to describe to you much in detail that we live in a world that's sin-cursed. You woke up this morning and you felt the pops and the cracks and all that. That's a result of sin. One of these days we're going to leave all these troubles behind. We're going to leave people behind, I hate to tell you. Some of these people, we ought to love them. We ought to try to reach them. But sometimes Satan uses these people and there's a struggle. There's a strife. One of these days, all these people problems, we're going to leave all that stuff behind. And we're going to leave persecution behind. Paul talked about those that come against him, and some of them didn't even preach Christ in strife. Listen, one of these days we're going to leave the persecution behind. One of these days we're going to leave pride behind. In chapter 2, he talks about pride and selfishness. And we're going to leave all that behind. We're going to leave pain behind. As we look into the Word of God, we are going to leave sin behind. We are going to leave sickness behind. Read Revelation 21:22. We're going to leave sadness behind. We're going to leave sorrow behind. We're going to leave separation no more. Hey, listen, no more we'll see death. I'm telling you, when we get to the other side, when we get to this place, it's far better. We'll not walk down to the grave and lay a little child in a graveyard somewhere. We'll not leave mom and daddy and lay them 6 feet in the dirt. Hey, listen, grandma and grandpa, we'll not lay them down and tell them goodbye. I got news for you for the child of God. We're not saying goodbye anyway. When we go down to the graveyard, where we're really going is the resurrection ground. What we're saying is not goodbye. What we're saying is, hey, I'll just see you later. And it won't be down there. I'll see you over there. Because we're going to a place that's far better. Leave selfishness behind. Here's the best part. We're going to leave Satan behind. Right now, I struggle with sin. I struggle with self. I struggle with Satan. One of these days, Satan's behind it all. One of these days, I'm going to a place where he can't get to me. I'm going to a place he's not going to be welcome. We're going to escape these problems. I'm longing for this place because there are some problems that I want to escape. I don't care how good you got it here, you're still going to struggle with the curse of sin. We're going to a place where we escape the problems. But number two, we're going to a place where the pleasures are that we will enjoy. I'm longing for this place because of the pleasures that we'll enjoy. Psalm 16:11, listen at this. The psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." People say, "I don't want to go to heaven. That's just going to be bored, sitting around playing harps." Oh, friend, you've got a wrong idea about heaven. Heaven's going to be the most exciting place. Matter of fact, the Bible says there's going to be a quietness. They're going to go quiet for a half hour. Other than that, it's going to be a time of loud noise and music and praising and worship. Somebody says, "I don't like it when they get happy. I don't like when they shout in church." Well, honey, you don't want to go to heaven. I tell you, when we get to heaven, hey, while the ages roll, we're going to keep praising Him. We're going to be worshiping Him. John in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5, he got a glimpse of what was going on in heaven. They're praising Him and giving Him glory because of His work in creation. And they're praising Him and they're worshiping Him for His work in redemption in the blood that He shed. And I want to say, thank God this morning I've been saved. I've been secured. And one of these days I'm sailing out of here and I'm going to a better place. There'll be pleasures. I don't have time, but if I was going to Revelation 21 and 22, I could read to you about this new Jerusalem, and that's the idea of what we're going to see. We could talk about heaven a little bit. We could talk about the material part of heaven. What is heaven made out of? I mean, when we read the Bible and we describe and see what the Bible says about heaven, it's a city that's roughly about 1,400 to 1,500 miles squared. In other words, let me give it to you like this. You could drive from New York City to Denver, Colorado, from Canada all the way down to Florida, stacked on top of each other, where about 20 billion, billion people could live spaciously. Are you listening? That's how big it's going to be. I mean, talk about a place. So I don't know if we're going to have enough room. Oh, there's plenty of room. And I got news for you. This ain't going to happen, but if he needed to, I know the guy that made it. He can make it bigger. The walls, listen, the walls are 216 feet high, and they're made of jasper. The gates, there's 12 of them, they're made of solid pearls. The foundation of the city is 12 layers of precious gems. The street in the city is pure gold. I'm talking about like transparent gold. We think it's great. We use it for jewelry around here. God uses it for asphalt. The river of life is crystal clear. The tree of life is constantly bearing 12 fruits that guarantee the healing of the nations. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." He didn't say, "I got a cabin on the backside of glory." Listen, are you listening to me? A cabin won't fit in to the environment. A cabin would not fit in to the surroundings. Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." We can speak of the residents. Who's going to be there? Who's going to be in this wonderful place? What kind of pleasure is it going to be if I'm not with my friends? Hold on for it. The Father's going to be there. Amen. Revelation 4 and 5, He's there. John 14, in my Father's house. The Son will be there. John 4, or Revelation 4 and 5, John was at the center of that worship. The Holy Spirit's going to be there, Revelation 14, 13. The holy angels will be there, Revelation 5, 11, 7, 10, Hebrews 12, 22. The seraphims, the cherubims, Gabriel, Michael, they'll all be there. The 420 elders of the church will be there. Are you listening to me? All of the redeemed from all the ages will be there. Heaven is the land of life. Heaven is the Father's house. Heaven, the new Jerusalem, is going to be the place that's going to be our eternal blessed home. I'm talking about the pleasures that'll be there. This past summer, I went over to Utah, and my wife and I was in Utah. We was taking in the sights on one of our trips, and as we traveled through Moab, Utah. What kind of place? Moab, Utah. There's a place over there called the Arches Park, Arches National Park. If you have an opportunity, you ought to stop in for a day and see it. But you know what we were viewing? We were viewing and thinking of the beauty of
rocks that were decaying. Rocks with no life. Rocks, barely, if any, greenery around. We think, oh, how pretty that is. What do you think when you go get to a place where the walls are jasper, the gates are pearl, the street is gold, foundations, precious stones? Man, what a place. And you look around and you don't have a neighbor you don't like. Nobody's stabbing you in the back. Nobody's coming at you, throwing rocks at you. No, everybody you look has been redeemed. And nobody can brag and say, I'm better than you, because everybody there got there the same way because they knelt at the cross and were washed in the blood. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Glory.
No struggle, no strife, the pleasures. Paul said, I'm longing for this place. Number three, he's longing for the place because of the person that we'll embrace there. The person that we will embrace there. You see, I'm looking forward to that street of gold. I want to see it. I've studied about it. I've read about it. I'm looking forward to the walls and the foundation and the gates. And I want to see that. And I want to see Paul. And I want to see Timothy. I want to see my daddy. Watch this verse. Paul said, I have a desire to depart. He didn't say him to be with mama. He didn't say him to be with daddy. He didn't say to see the street of gold. You see what he said? He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ. To be with Christ, which is far better. There's a person on the other side. When I close my eyes in death, when this body lays down, my spirit and my soul depart from this body, and I wake up on the other side to sleep no more. I hear people saying, I'm going to have a question, and I'm going to ask this, and I'm going to see this. I got news for you. I believe what you're going to do is what the rest of us is going to do. You're going to fall down in awe at the wonder of the Lamb of God. The one who died made it possible for you to be there. He said to be with Christ. He didn't say be with the church. I'm looking forward to y'all being there. But it ain't going to be heaven because y'all are there. And it ain't going to be heaven because I'm there. It's going to be heaven because Jesus is there. He said to be with. And y'all know what the word with means. It denotes union. To be together with. But this word is actually stronger. It has the association, the companionship. To be with Him, to be in resemblance. We're going to be together. In other words, when we get there, we're going to be completely with Him in union. In a sense of completeness. I'm a work in progress right now. Still got my problems. Still got my hang-ups. We still got things we're dealing with. God's working in our heart. It's a little bit here, a little bit there. None of us are perfect. You didn't wake up the day after you got saved. Well, I've arrived. No, Paul said, I hadn't apprehended yet, but I want to apprehend. What are we going to do? When we're with Him, we'll be like Him. That's what 1 John 3 said. We'll be like Him. We're going to be with Him. Church, we're going to be with Him. Get a hold of that. We're not going to be with the President of the United States. When I was younger, I used to go to the NASCAR races, and I'd see Davey Addison. I'd be like, I want to get on the other side of the fence because I want to talk to him. I want to be in his presence. Are y'all all right? We'd go to football games, and my favorite football players would come out, and I'd be like, I want to go over there. I never got to go over and see them guys. But there's one. He's far superior to a race car driver or to a football player or to a politician or even to a preacher. And one of these days, are you listening? He's made a way.
Glory.
One of these days, I'm going to go through that gate. I'm going to walk down that street of gold. And I don't know exactly where I'll be in relation to the center of the city. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know if it'll be at the throne. I don't know if it'll meet me at the gate. But I know this. There's going to be one there. And he's going to say, come on in. I've been waiting for you. And I'm not going to, I'll be honest with you, I don't think I'm going to have a bunch of questions for him. I think I'm going to forget about all them questions. I'm just going to be thankful that I'm there. And somebody's going to say, how you get here? And I'm going to have to say, I'm with Him. I'm with Him. Are you listening to me? John said, John 14, actually Jesus said, He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Listen, that where I am, Jesus said, there ye may be also. Somebody said, what are we going to be doing during eternity? What are we going to be doing during the millennium? I don't know, but according to what Jesus said, whatever we're doing, I'm going to be with Him. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Ever be. So, I got news for you. If you want to find me one of these days, they're gonna build a box or something. You ain't even got to buy the box. Just throw me in the ground, all right? So the rats eat you. I ain't going to be there. They're going to lay me in the ground. I'll be laying here like this. But I ain't going to be there. Are y'all listening? One of these days, He's going to call that body up out there. And my body and my spirit, my soul is going to get back together and hook up in the clouds. And I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be with Him. And forever, from that moment on, if you want to know where I'll be, you can just look in the Bible. I'm going to be with Him. I'm going to be with Him. And if mama's saved, she's going to be with Him. And if daddy was saved, he's going to be with Him. And if grandma and grandpa was saved, they're going to be with Him. And if the church that's sitting here this morning, we're on the other side, we're going to be with Him. That's why I said we'll be together with Him. Are you listening to me? There's a person we'll embrace. I'm not just going to go there and be entertained by Him. I'm going to go there and embrace Him. I'm going to go there and worship Him. I'm going to be a part of that crown that's fallen and saying, worthy, worthy, worthy. He's worthy, church. He's worthy now. I'm going to be with Him. Number four. Listen, number four. I talked about the problems we'll escape, the pleasures we'll enjoy, the person we'll embrace. But number four, there's a promise we'll encounter. There's a promise we'll encounter. You see, in John 14, Jesus said, if I go away, He said, I go and prepare a place for you. So there is the promise of a prepared place. That is the promise of a prepared place. This far better place, this place that Paul was longing to go, this place that Paul had a desire to leave this world and say goodbye to this world, this place that he had a strong craving for, it's the place that Jesus said he was going to. And he said, I'm going to my Father's house and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. It's a prepared place. What's he going now? I don't know if he went up there and spoke it. I don't know if he went up there and did it with his hand. I just know this. It's being prepared by Him. It's a prepared place. It wasn't just a ill thought. Sometimes we throw things together. No. He done had over 2,000 years to get this one ready, honey. He's prepared a place. When we get to the other side, it's not going to be a cabin with cracks and shack that's falling down. We're going to a place that Jesus Himself is preparing. But hold on. Not only do we have the promise of a prepared place that we'll encounter, but it's a promise to a prepared people. John 14:6, just a couple verses down below that, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, or no woman, no boy, no girl, no man cometh to the Father but by me. You're not going to this prepared place because you're a Baptist or you're a Methodist or you're a Presbyterian. You're not going because you've been baptized or because you've been a part of a certain church. You're not going because you're a good person. The Bible said there's none good, no, not one. You're not going because you got short hair and a long dress. There's only one way you'll go. It's because this is a prepared place for prepared people. You say, preacher, how do I prepare? There's only one way to prepare. It's to come the Bible way. What's the Bible way? Jesus. Jesus. He said, I'm the way. You know why He said, I'm the way? He said, I am the way. So you can be saved. If you're lost, He'll save you. He said, I'm the truth. So you can be sure. He said, I don't want you to guess it. He said, I'm the truth. And He said, I'm the life. So you can be satisfied. if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know and have the promise of this prepared place for prepared people, I got news for you. Jesus prepared the place and He's prepared the way. He is the way. He wants you to know. He wants you to be sure. He wants you to be saved and He wants you to be satisfied. Going to a place where a promise will be encountered. A promise of a prepared place. A promise of a prepared people. My question this morning is, are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you saved? I mean, have you been born again? Have you? Jesus said in John 3, you must be born again. Have you been born again? I'm not asking you if you joined a church or put your name on a church roll. I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm asking you, have you been born again? Have you repented of your sins? Placed your faith in Jesus Christ? And then I want to ask this question. Are you living with a longing for heaven? I mean, I'm talking to Christians now. Are you bogged down in the busyness and the burdens of life? Have you failed to serve the Lord with gladness because of everything around? Have you got your eyes off of heaven and off of eternity and started living for now? Oh, I believe Paul would tell you, hey, there's a far better place than this. There's a whole lot better things to enjoy than what's in this world. They got food better than fried chicken. They got people better than Baptist. Then let me ask you this question. Are you, as a Christian, are you making heaven's appeal to others? Are you making heaven's appeal to others? Number one, I can think about this. Does your life, the way you represent Christ in this world, are you showing others that heaven's where you're going? And then, are you making an appeal to them? Are you telling others actively and passionately that Jesus died for them and they don't have to go to hell? They don't have to die in their sins. They can go to this prepared place. Are you telling others? God help us to have a burden for the lost. Let's stand this morning. Are you living with a longing? Father, in Jesus' name, help us today. Do for us what only You can do. We'll thank You for Your sake that You do this work. Do it for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're coming if you need to come.